Recorded August 13th at 9:46 p.m.
Yes, what it's like to be homeless, cold, scary, and confusing. What it's like to lose a job, devastating. All these things add up to a sense of failure and a struggle to find food. And also, I have a child, so being homeless when I had a child was overwhelming. It made me have a huge sense of guilt of what I was doing to myself and my child. But I have, you know, chosen to put one foot in front of the other. And with the resources that are available in this county through the Homeless Prisons Health Project and Community Action Board, I was able to get great assistance, and I thank them very much.
You're listening to Night Ride. This is Volume 84, Homeless.
Dreamer doesn't always look like shine and stardust. Sometimes it just looks like dust, and I get tired of living this street rat life, tired of being stared at on the sidewalks and hovered over in the stores, tired of being grabbed by the neck or the arm and shoved out of cafes where I'm trying to sneak into the restrooms to fill up our water bottles. I know it happens because I'm dirty, because I carry my life on my back, and because I have no apparent home or gender. It happens because I look like one of society's failed, and collectively, we are terrified of both failure and the failed. In our culture of fear, we learn that the formulas for success and safety are one and the same. There are no alternative formulas, or at least not ones that we can trust, so we mirror each other, policing the reflections for many aberrations. My street rat life is a choice for me. I may re-enter that less deviant world at any time I want. I can use my privilege to buy back respect from the same people who right now lock me out of it. All the keys to those doors are for sale. So why am I living this self-imposed exile? Because you get what you pay for. Pay a lot and you get an expensive life. Take what's free and you get freedom. On most people's terms, this trip wouldn't have been possible. No, we didn't have any money for the youth hostels, but who would have told us to keep dancing if we hadn't gone to Ventura Corrutu? And if we hadn't taken the bus, we would have missed Ponderoso. No cemetery picnics would be found in the formula for Turosun. No cemetery picnics would be found in the formula for success. No cheap bread and stolen chocolate on the menu. But off the map and beyond the borders of fear, there are other formulas. Abandoned houses minus permission equals free shelter and adventure. Rain plus covered doorways equals gratitude. Soon it's obvious that what you thought was flat actually has an underside, an edge, a core. That the mirrors you grew up with are as warped as the ones in the funhouse, and there's no going back to them. It's either giving up or going on. One way cynicism, the other dreams.
Am I on the air? Hello? I'd like to talk about a little more about the Social Security Supplemental Security Income issue. One thing I ran into was that because of the way the laws are written, when you're on SSI, your family, if your family gives you any money, they take away dollar for dollar. If your family gives you $10, they reduce your supplemental security income by $10. What happens with that is that you're not able to move forward at all. You can't get any medical care, any additional medical care beyond that $600 or $700 that they give you. You can't get it. You're basically end up at the same level because they take away, the laws are written, they can take away dollar for dollar what you're given. If you're lucky enough to have anybody wanting to help you out. And I think that law needs to be changed. I personally experienced that, and what I had to do was I ended up getting off SSI, giving up about $50 a month and just receiving only Social Security so that I was able to receive money legally from my family. But I think that is an atrocious law, and in addition, there's another law is that if you're an SSI and you're able to work even, you know, say 5 hours a week, rather than letting you keep that money, they take away half of that money. So let's say you're earning $6 an hour. You, in essence, would only end up making $3 an hour. And that is an atrocious law. And I have to say that I was homeless because of these laws. I was homeless for, well, not just because of the laws, but because of the illness that I had. In addition to a lack of money, and before I was able to end up with some assisted housing. And I think that we really need to look at these laws and how they're affecting people. It is criminal for people with illnesses to not be able to receive money from their family, or if they receive money, to have their benefits reduced by the same amount. So I'd like to encourage people to help change that. That's all I have to say about that. Thanks.
Paul Brindell, Program Director of the Shelter Project at the Community Action Board of Santa Cruz County. It's been 40 years since Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty. We've asked some of the people we work with to share with you what it's like to live in poverty. These stories, with their permission, come from our voicemail.
Boarded August 14th at 10:34 a.m.
I went through a serious depression and wasn't able to work. And then after that, I wasn't, because of that, I got evicted. It feels devastating. It feels like like no hope and desperate. To lose my job was really, really hard and very humiliating. I felt very ashamed. I wanted to say that it's terrifying. It's extremely the worst feeling you ever have. And what can be done to resolve it is there can be better help for people getting on Social Security disability. Make it more of a timely process, or maybe help with rental, help with rent for people who are getting evicted, or help with gas and help with car repairs, because all those things factored in to help me be evicted.
For more on the status of poverty in Santa Cruz County, visit our website at www.cabinc.org or call 831-763-2147. For the War on Poverty in the 21st Century, I'm Paul Brindell.
Now I wrote this song for Michael Stewart. Michael Stewart was a young black graffiti artist who was arrested while writing graffiti on a subway wall in New York City. While under arrest, in the presence of 11 white transit cops, Michael Stewart was strangled to death. When his case was heard by the grand jury, you know, not one cop was found guilty. Coroner lost the evidence, and those cops, they're on the streets again. Your little style war boys, yes, and you can keep your little dance, but those crazy riders, they don't stand a ghost of a chance. No, it's call of them cons, that's what Mayor Koch said. He said call it a crime, and now it's steer clear of the engineer on that midnight special line.
Night Ride is all about the narrative voice, written as in literature or spoken as in oral history, human beings, traffic, in stories. It's the basis of human communication. Let me tell you about my day, or my life, or a year or two I lived out on the street. Stories are dreamy. They take you to other places, other times, to other lives. Like music, stories transport you outside of yourself. Stories and music and dreams. I'm Wes Modes, here with my co-host, Johnny Hurst. This is Night Ride, Volume 84. The subject, homeless.
Resent my fork in the road, like when the bathroom doors get slammed on me and I'm limping through the city in search of a bush. Cynically, I think, no wonder the cities all smell like piss. Only the rich are allowed to urinate. I snarl at the inequities. I hiss at the blatant stares. I drop my overalls and vow to quit dreaming. But I can't. Even snarling, even hissing and cursing, I'm reminded that there are angels everywhere. Angels choosing to sow the stars back into the dust. Angels inside the system, not just out, like Jan, who picked us up yesterday and drove miles out of his way to leave us at a good spot. Here's my phone number, he said, after wishing us good luck. So if you don't get a ride, you have a place to stay tonight. Earlier, when Hippokina asked him what he would do if he didn't have to work on his computer job, he had sighed and gazed out the window, past the asphalt to the water. I'd sail, he said. I'd sail all the time. Dreamers, stuck behind computers, Hibakina and I murmured half sadly to each other later. And then this morning, as we sat propped up against the warmth of a brick restaurant wall, the proprietor came out and suggested that we come inside where there were tables, so we'd be more comfortable, no need to buy anything. Pleased, we ordered coffee anyway, and we dug down to our pockets for change, and he told us to pay only what we could. And that will be plenty, he smiled. It is the nectar of the angel world that feeds the travelers on the road of dreams. We sustain each other, even when our equations vary. We are all angels of the thing that once looked flat. We bring its body to life. As it fleshes out, forms ridges, tests edges, bears a hidden belly, and a beating heart at its core, the thing that once looked flat is recognizable as the other world we are creating. We make it home for each other. We open its doors when we offer kindness, and we pass through those doors when we say yes. We make the windows when we tell the stories.
recorded August 14th at 2:24 p.m.
Being homeless in Santa Cruz County has been quite an experience for myself, my partner, and our two children, 16 and 17 years old. We became homeless because of a loss of employment and the struggle to find housing after losing your job, using the rest of your money and savings, and not having any place to go, sleeping in your vehicle, often sleeping down at the levee on the water. Fortunately, Santa Cruz County offers lunches, breakfast, and dinner in the afternoon. Having children and being homeless is extremely strainful.
We've been here for like probably like 2 weeks, just drinking beers and playing music, hanging out. The people here trying to go back to the city. That's pretty much it, man. Just traveling around, having a good time.
I'm just a musician, a stumbling musician from Kansas. Right now, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying my friend playing my guitar, man, and having a blast. And different cultures of music. I really enjoy this. Yeah.
What's going on right now with the street? You want to know about the street? All right, here we go. Well, we got some homeless kids in the house. We got a lot of kids swinging some, you know, the herb. You know, the kids getting by. Kids trying to get by. But myself, I'm a father, so I'm out on the road because. Because I broke up with the mother of my child, and I'm just on the road just trying to figure out what's going on in life, you know, and what's going on in this world exactly, because this world is kind of getting crazy. And you got the war going on, you got just a bunch of everything going on, man. You don't even know how to comprehend with war. It's crazy, you know. It's all nutty. So that's why I'm out here. But I have a son, you know, so I should think about his interest and, you know, it's all that. What I have is on my back, and that is it. And I'm grateful for that, because that's all I want.
Angela was in town several years ago. Somebody asked her what she thought about the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz, and she said it was an atrocity. I must agree with that. When Ralph Nader was in town a couple weeks ago, somebody also brought up the sleeping ban, and he said that that Justice Douglas, the Supreme Court Justice, wrote an opinion that probably makes the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz County illegal per the Supreme Court. I think it'd be really interesting if somebody could dig up that opinion. If one is reduced to needing to sleep in their car or, God forbid, in the bushes, to have the, in addition to that, to have the terror of, you know, the fear of waking up to an officer or citing you with a ticket is extremely stressful in an already stressful situation, and I think this needs to be addressed in this county. We need to have some compassion. Thank you.
Playing the guitar. I don't know how to play, but I'm playing the guitar. I play the drum and piano, djembe, drum and piano. I'm a writer by heart, but I'm not doing any of that right now. I'm playing the guitar right now.
You're listening to Night Ride. This is volume 84. The subject, homeless.
Never gonna run away. can give us hearts of stone. There were ships unpainted faces. The world's no place when you're on your own. Oh, a heart needs a home.
You know about squatting regulations here, don't you? Nope. Well, according to Dutch law, if a building's gone empty for 1 year and people squat it, as long as they have a bed, a chair, and a table somewhere inside, the squat is legal and the squatters have rights. Of course, it's not legal to actually break the door down, and if they manage to stop you from entering, you don't have any rights. But we're good at entering and we bring the furniture in right away. So as soon as we're in, we're in. You can walk right down to the city and register. Once a squat is legal, the building owner has to go through the courts and prove that they have some kind of plans for the building before the squatters get evicted. But even that takes a while, a few months sometimes, because first you have to get served a notice and, well, you know, systems. Annette grinned. The gotta love 'em smirk of someone versed in slipping through the back doors of capitalism to make some minor adjustments. Another woman appeared in the landing from behind the velvet stage curtain and eyed us quizzically.
Homeless because of the fact that I had a job at doing security and I got pregnant, and because I was pregnant I was a liability, because if I got hurt in the job I could sue, so I ended up getting terminated for my job. And then I was bedridden sick and my boyfriend at the time refused to go to work, so I, as I was applying for jobs, I kept getting turned down due to the fact that I was pregnant. And I ended up going on county aid, but it only gave me it barely gave me enough to even eat on. And it's been really hard, you know, because I barely get, you know, enough food. And my child, he's been breastfed.
So if it wasn't for, you know, any kind of friend's help, saying from friend to friend, I wouldn't have a place because daycare is expensive and I need a job to get daycare and I can't, you know, afford to put him in daycare to get a job.